Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA today, a very special day, obviously, in the Christian calendar, and we're delighted to take our microphones over to my home county, and indeed the home county of Father Richard Gibbons, who is the rector, the parish priest, he's the man who runs Knock in County Mayo. And Father Richard, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
Tell us about, well, first of all, before we even get into the history of Knock, which is fairly well known, it must be fairly well known considering that on any given year you have 1.5 million pilgrims who visit Knock in County Mayo. But let me just ask you about this particular, the Lenten season, the lead up to Easter Sunday, the joyous occasion which will be celebrated throughout the world tomorrow, but especially one could say in Knock and at Knock Shrine and Basilica.
Yes, you're perfectly right, Adrian. 1.6 million people visit here every year, so this is the time of year when our season actually begins, and it begins actually just directly after Easter. So tomorrow, indeed for the last number of days, right throughout the build-up to Easter itself, Holy Week, we've tremendous crowds usually come to Knock for all the major ceremonies. In fact, we have to open the Basilica again in order to accommodate the numbers that would come, which is great. Yeah. It's as we see over here, it's a great complaint. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to offer to people that dimension to celebrate the Passion of the Lord and into Easter Sunday itself. Indeed, on Easter Sunday, huge crowds come to Knock for the main ceremonies and the Masses of Easter itself. And then we kick off, so to speak, our pilgrimage season, which continues until October. So we spend a huge amount of time, as you can appreciate, before the season begins, planning for all of this and putting things in place and being as well prepared as we possibly can. And I have to give great tribute to our own staff here, who are wonderful, and they make people so welcome and so feel so welcome when they come to Knock.
Now, we think of Knock, and many of us who grew up in Ireland, as a small parish church, which it was, indeed, where the story of Knock begins. And we can no longer say, even in jest, out in the middle of no place, because the roads to Knock are many, and obviously for those who might want to visit Knock, the getting there is not going to be a problem, whether that's on coach tours, and the great number of people, particularly after the great success of the Gathering Ireland in 2013, are going to Ireland, and they're going to places where they have not been before. We don't have to preach to the choir with respect to those who have visited Knock and those whose family and her generations before them are familiar with Knock. But maybe you could start by giving us, you know, the beginning of Knock, what happened, and
sure,
the development after that.
Sure. Well, the story of Knock goes back to 1879, the 21st of August 1879. In fact, this is the 135th anniversary of the apparition this year that we're celebrating, and we're focusing on the witnesses. There were 15 official witnesses to the apparition itself on that Thursday evening. Our Lady, St. John the Baptist, St. John the Evangelist, St. Joseph, and the Lamb of God appeared in a unique tableau, a unique setting, to the villagers and the community in Knock on a wet Thursday evening at 8 o'clock in the evening. So it was a unique event, but it was a community event. And roughly more than 15 people would have witnessed the apparition itself, but there were 15 official witnesses in terms of commission of inquiry that was set up directly afterwards. So on that Thursday evening, as I say, they saw Our Lady, St. Joseph, her husband, St. John the Evangelist, with a book in his hand in the aspect of a preacher preaching to the people. And at the heart and core and center was an altar, a lamb, and a cross, around which angels, what were depicted as angels, were hovering. It was a unique event, as I say, historical, and the commission of inquiry that was set up found that the testimonies given by the 15 witnesses, which ranged in age from 7 years of age to, 6 years of age to a person in their 70s, were found to be trustworthy and acceptable.
And indeed, that inquiry, Father Givens, that inquiry was repeated back in, I believe, in 1936 or thereabouts.
Absolutely right. In 1936, a second commission of inquiry was set up in order to get the testimonies of the last number of individuals that were alive, left alive, just before they died in 1936. And again, their testimonies corroborated what they had originally said in 1880. So it was well established in terms of commissions of inquiry, and then recognized by the church in a number of serious subsequent events, such as the reception of the banner in St. Peter's in Rome in the Marian year 1954 by Pius XII, and again later on, ultimately by the visit of Pope John Paul II in 1979. So it is recognized by the Church, and over those years, from the time of the apparition, it developed and kept developing, and possibly developed mostly from the 1960s onward with the arrival of James Horne, who built the Basilica in 1976 and developed a whole host of different facilities in Knock, and then continued by Monsignor Greeley into the 80s and 90s with the Chapel of Reconciliation and the new chapel for the apparition itself.
Right.
And continuing to this day, indeed. And of course, the airport is synonymous with Knock as well, started by Monsignor James Horne, and then subsequently we're moving on now to this latest phase, which is the taking Knock to the next level in terms of its redevelopment. So we have a wonderful plan ahead of us, but the history of Knock has been varied, and it certainly has been a great cooperation between the shrine and the parish here. And has led to those figures of 1.6 million. But please God, we will be able to develop on that, Adrian. And,
yes.
And we have plans to promote Knock more than it is being promoted at the moment. And while people know about Knock, they don't know a huge amount about it. You know, they know probably of it, and it's to appeal to the next generation and subsequent generations, that we have a wonderful facility here in this country. It was described recently by the papal nuncio to the country, the apostolic nuncio, Archbishop Charles Brown, as the spiritual capital of the country itself, and I certainly would concur with that description.
Yes.
We not have so much to offer people in terms of just even a space, a retreat space, a space just even to kind of just even to get away from things. A wonderful facility in terms of over 100 acres of grounds to walk in and to get in touch again with God and get in touch again with even their own spiritual lives. And at the heart and core, of course, is the celebration of the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession.
Mm-hmm.
Like we took a number, just in order to see how that was going, a number of years ago we took a calculation of the number, we counted the number of people that were going to confession, and on average it turned out to be about 5,000 people per week going to confession in Knock.
Okay.
Now that's extraordinary. We actually had to sit down when we heard that. We recently took another series of numbers just in the last year or so, and that has fallen. It has fallen to about maybe 4,000, I think. But still, it's an extraordinary number of people.
That's what we offer people. Okay. Before we get on to the plans, and I know that the official launch of those plans are scheduled for the fall or late summer, but to describe Knock You know, it's roughly that 100 acres, and it's definitely, even with all of the chapels and the churches and the stations of the cross, the holy water, all of the things that we associate with Knock from, and particularly those who grew up in Ireland, who may not have gone to many places throughout Ireland, but who say, when you say, oh, where are you from, and, you know, the West of Mayo, I was in Knock one time when I was 7, or I was, it has that great history of it being, you know, an international place you know, of pilgrimage. But just describe, if you will, like the settings, the grounds.
It's the grounds themselves, like you say, it's roughly around 100 acres of land that incorporates the Apparition Chapel, the parish church, which is always very, very popular. It's a, mm-hmm. the church that dates back to 1828, the year before Catholic emancipation here. And it's always a very, it's a favourite with people because they get a sense of the history, and they get, it's a beautiful small chapel that kind of gives that sense yes. of a great atmosphere of prayer. The basilica itself, which holds under cover around 10,000 people, built in 1976, we have an adoration chapel for the Blessed Sacrament for people every right. day. We have a rest and care centre, which affords a place to people, especially invalids, to come and to rest and to have their lunch indoors, just in case.
Right.
As you can know, as you can well appreciate, our weather can be very mixed here, even during the summer. So it's an indoor facility for people to come. We have a bookshop. We have a hotel attached to the shrine as well, Knock House mm-hmm. Hotel, with over 70 rooms that offers a modern facility and hospitality facility. We have a reconciliation chapel, a confessional chapel, with over 50 confessionals in the chapel itself. We have a counselling service attached to that, with a drop-in central for people in case they need a little bit more than just confessions themselves. Yes. We have a cafe. We have a museum that depicts the history of Knock, and it's wonderful. It's interactive and provides a great facility for people to catch up on the history very briefly. And so, there's actually a purpose-built cottage from the time with fully kitted out in terms of how people lived in those days. So it's a wonderful and interactive museum. Also, we have Carmelite Convent that is on the grounds as well that mm-hmm. provides respite for people in terms of prayer and in terms of just somebody to talk to, indeed. And we have ground staff, of course, and then our offices, that mass offices, that provide possibility right. for people to have masses and to incorporate others that they'd like to pray for. And, of course, a candle area. We have a wonderful youth ministry that has
yes.
designed family services for people, so that when you come with your family, your young children, you know, it can be very hard to even get them to go around and do the normal things with adults. So there's a specific place for that you can bring your children to, and we have wonderfully qualified youth ministers there that take the children and have catechetical games and things to do for the children and for young people, and a drop-in centre then for young adults as well.
Tend to think of pilgrimage places, the highlight being that, you know, that miracles have taken place there.
Mm.
The number of miracles which have not been recorded or made a fuss of that are associated with Knock, it's an endless list. It has been known that people who are you know, have depression, that those who have physical or mental strain, handicap, that actually there is something that happens in Knock which maybe outshines, as it were, they recognize miracles, and many of them have taken place over the, mm-hmm. the period of time.
Well, it's a mix of everything, really. We have an investigation into one particular instance at the moment that's under investigation, Marion Carl, who was actually physically cured here in Knock, and we've had several other reports of such. Quite a lot happened even off the record, so to speak.
Right.
I myself spoke to an Italian couple a number of years ago that came here. She had suffered from severe back trauma, was on crutches, and had this problem with walking for years. Her husband is a doctor, by the way, in the hospital in Milan, and they came. They just happened to be, they didn't know anything about Knock. They were on their way. They had to go back to Italy, and they were flying through Knock Airport to link up with a flight in London back to Italy, and they had to return very quickly. But they were an hour ahead of their flight, so they suggested at the airport that they come down to the shrine. They didn't know anything about the shrine. They came down, and the wife saw people going up to a little area that we have at the Apparition Chapel, which has the original stones from the original gable wall. And people go up, lay their hand on it, and they say a little prayer. And she saw them doing this, and she did it herself. And then she went away, went to the bathroom, she told me, and saw her husband. When she came out, something, she felt something inside, a tingling right down through her body. And she came out of the bathroom, shouted over at her husband, hysterically shouting at him, shouting, and he thought that there was something she was after, collapsing or something, and came over, and she actually could walk without the crutches. Now, I myself, I have to say, I'm a skeptical individual, and I like things kind of proven. I like things, you know, well, if that's the case, how is that investigated and all the rest of it? So they returned to Italy. Remember, he was a doctor, she was a mm-hmm. teacher, and he brought her to his hospital. And basically, his colleague said in the hospital, look, this is what she was like before she went to Ireland. This is what she's like now. She was in this state before she went. She's able to walk, and she's in this state now, and we can't say anything more than that. And they simply wanted to come back, and they wanted to present something to the shrine, which was her first Holy Communion gold rosary beads. She just wanted to present this in Thanksgiving. And all they said to me, and I remember this, and this is why I thought a little bit more about it. We don't want any fuss. We don't want any publicity about this. This is simply what has happened to us. We want you to know it because it happened here. This is our gift to the shrine, because we think this is very precious to me, and I want Our Lady of Knock to have this, and the shrine to have this, and that is simply it. And they returned to Italy. And there was no investigation, but we get instances like that. And then, of course, we get other instances in terms of people, again, simply through confession itself, where we always mm-hmm. say that's where most of our miracles really happen. But there are actual miracles. There are miracles that have been under investigation officially. And then there are instances like that Italian couple that happened, if you want, miraculously. That happened in their own time. So it's a highly unusual place like that. Like every shrine is. Lourdes would have the same
yes.
story or record as ourselves, obviously, because it's better known than us. Fatima the same way. But I think, you know, in the context of that, we must never forget the grace of God in the ordinariness and the everyday pilgrim who comes here and who is in some way, shape or form touched by the experience of Knock.
What I would like to do today, and particularly considering this being the Easter weekend, is for those who maybe haven't thought of going to see Knock, going to experience Knock, I think this might be a good time and a good year to put it on the map, because it's for everybody. You don't even have to be a Catholic, you don't have to, you know, there are as many people who go to Knock who are not of the Catholic religion, and still they feel something that this is something about Knock is mm-hmm. very, very soothing, and it is relaxing, and like I say, and I maintain, nobody that I know ever went to Knock and came out and didn't feel the better for it. To that end, on this, the eve of Easter Sunday, I want to wish you, Father Gibbons, Richard Gibbons, parish priest of Knock and rector of Knock Shrine, a very happy Easter, and maybe you give us a website so we can log on to it and get more information.
Absolutely, Adrian. And look, I just want to extend that, and you're very kind, and thank you very much for those sentiments. And I just want to reciprocate that and offer and extend to yourself, to warn you there, and all your listeners in New York, a very, very happy Easter. And please, God, as I say, you're as welcome as the flowers in the forthcoming May that's coming. Any time that you and your listeners would wish to come to Knock, you'll receive a very warm welcome. And please, God, experience some of that grace of the Lord that we all look for. So I wish you all that. You can find out about Knock on www.knockshrine.ie, and our plans will be forthcoming, and we go officially in September and October. We begin our work on our basilica in October, and we're currently trying to raise funds for that, and of course the other two elements, which is the promotion of the shrine itself at home and abroad, and the developing of faith formation programs and educational programs, and various programs for our young people and families and everybody that comes to Knock, give them a more spiritual sense of their faith. So all of that will be coming out, and please God, I might be able to speak to you later on in the year about that as well. So thank you very much again, and I wish you well, Adrian.
Okay, and happy Easter again. Thank you, Father Richard Gibbons there, parish priest of Knock Parish, rector of Knock Shrine, in County Mayo in Ireland. And again, I want to remind your friends, if it may be not on your schedule for the moment, put it on there, because it's a great place, and it's a great place to visit, and you'll be the better for that. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.